We're beginning in the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And it's just been really good to hear from friends who have emailed me and told me how much the podcast is blessing them and how much it's meaning to them, especially since we've been going through the book of Proverbs. And I'll tell you what, it really has been making a difference in my own personal life. I think that the Word of God always does when we give heed to it and take it into our heart. How can it help but change our life? It is, after all, the eternal Word of God. It has the power of God in it. It's the anointed Word of God, and it absolutely will change our lives. And when we study it in order to be able to share it with others, sometimes I think we get a deeper understanding. I think the teacher often learns more than the student. So I just really appreciate this opportunity to share the Word of God with you. Proverbs chapter 8, and this is the New Living Translation. Wisdom gives good advice. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. She stands at the hilltop and at the crossing roads and at the entrance of the city and at the city gates and cries out loud, I call to you, all of you. I am raising my voice to all people. Here is wisdom personified again. We saw it in previous chapters that wisdom is referred to in the form of a person. And we know that wisdom is in the form of a person. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13 says that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. And so Jesus is our wisdom. Although the pronouns in this chapter are feminine, wisdom raises her voice, and it talks about her rather than him. We understand that wisdom here, being personified, really the Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom. And so we want to proceed here. In verse 5, it says, how naive you are. Let me give you common sense, O foolish ones. Let me give you understanding. Listen to me, for I have excellent things to tell you. Everything I say is right. You know, God wants to give wisdom to those who lack it. It says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And we can see verse 5 maybe as an insult to our intelligence, but it's not really. The truth is that God's infinite wisdom is so far beyond us that by comparison, the most intelligent of us, at our very best, we are so naive and so simple. Jesus said to his disciples, O ye of little faith. He often said that to them. But it's because his faith in his Father was absolute and perfect and unshakable. And their faith wavered from time to time. You know, Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water, but a few seconds later his eyes got on the winds and waves and he began to sink. And that's the way we are often in our lives. And so we shouldn't take it as an insult when wisdom cries out and says, how naive you are, let me give you common sense. Oh, foolish ones, let me give you understanding. Because in comparison to God's wisdom, that's who we are. Listen to me, for I have excellent things to tell you. Verse 6. Everything I say is right. Verse 7. For I speak the truth and hate every kind of deception. You know, that's where wisdom really is. It is absolute truth. The same verse, verse 6, says in the King James Version, here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my mouth shall be right things. Verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Once again, wisdom and the power of your tongue are tied together. Jesus said this, out of the abundance of a heart, the mouth speaketh. God wants wisdom to come out of our mouth, and when wisdom comes out of our mouth, there's no evil that comes out. You know what? If you're a complainer and complaint comes out of your mouth, can you really say that you're a wise person? If you're a criticizer and you criticize others and you find yourself doing that, maybe you do it because you think you're smarter than somebody else. But in reality, is that wisdom? No, of course not. Verse 9. Verse 8. All of the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Absolute honesty and truth is what is being talked about. You know, that's part of Christian character, is that the words of our mouth are absolutely trustworthy. What would happen if God ever told a lie? If God ever spoke an untruth in any way, it would completely change the character of who God is. We know God is absolutely true. And we, created in the image of God, lying should be so foreign to us, especially those of us who are born again and have the nature of Christ within us. How can we be deceptive and still call ourselves Christians? How can we say that the greater one lives within us when we speak like the father of lies? Verse 9. They are plain to all them that understand, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and retain knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that you can desire are not to be compared with it. Here, wisdom is being stacked up against worldly possessions, earthly goods, rubies, silver, and gold, and wisdom found to be far better, because wisdom brings with it not only peace and happiness and inward contentment, but wisdom will also produce material wealth. It absolutely will. Wisdom produces material wealth. You find a wise person, you'll also find a person that prospers in earthly things as well as spiritual things. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, that's an interesting verse, and I think it would be good to look at the Amplified Bible and see if we can shed some light on that. Verse 12 in the Amplified, I, wisdom from God, make prudence my dwelling place, and I find out knowledge and discretion. And our New Living Bible says in verse 12, let me see if I can find that verse. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. That is why I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverted speech. Praise God, we look at wisdom and see that wisdom has no place for evil. You know, you can't find a person that is immoral and wise at the same time. They might have the wisdom of this world, but they don't have true wisdom. The scripture tells us to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Those are the words of Christ. Wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. But often a serpent is looked upon as a symbol of evil, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. It's talking about subtlety, but not talking about deception, not talking about evil in any way. Good advice and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign and rulers make just laws. Rulers lead with my help and nobles make righteous judgments. I want to read those same verses from the King James Bible, verse 12 again. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I like that, witty inventions. You know, I believe that's one of the ways that God chooses to bless us in the material realm is by witty inventions. Often we pray that God will meet our needs and supply our needs and then run out to the mailbox and see if somebody sent us a check. And that very often is a disappointing way to live, expecting God to provide in that way. But what he really does is he gives us ideas. You know, I think ideas are the most profitable things in the world. It was an idea that is the reason why we have electric light bulbs today. It was an idea that caused Columbus to hop in a ship and sail across the ocean, and here we live in the continent of North America. or I do anyway. I'm sure we have some listeners all around the world. But we have the betterment of our lives is due to inventions, things like the computer and microwave ovens and automobiles. All of these things come from witty inventions, and they have made their inventors very, very prosperous. God has witty inventions or brilliant ideas that he just is wanting to share with the world. And you may be just the person he wants to use to share his ideas with the world. And so that's why we seek wisdom, and that's how wisdom often will prosper us. So that's what he says about wisdom dwelling with prudence and finding out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There's a definition of the fear of the Lord. We fear the Lord and we hate evil. Fearing the Lord doesn't mean that we're afraid of what God will do to us, but more of a fear that, kind of like a child and a father. It's not that the child fears punishment, but fears disappointing the father. I'll never forget, I was just a young children's church minister, and we had a little boy in children's church. It was a very sensitive little guy, and he was just behaving badly that week. And I said to him, "You know, buddy, I'm really disappointed in you." And when I said that to him, he started to cry. I didn't realize the impact of what I'd said to him, that I was disappointed in him. I had to apologize and rephrase that, because in reality I wasn't disappointed in him as a person, but in his behavior. And I clarified that, and he apologized for misbehaving. He knew he wasn't behaving right. But he wasn't afraid that I was going to punish him, but it was a punishment to hear that I was disappointed, because he cared what I thought of him. And you know, that's the way, what the fear of God really is. We care that God is pleased, and we seek his approval. Now, we don't seek God's approval so that he will save us, because he saves us entirely by grace. But we seek his approval because he's our loving father, and we are his children, and we want to obey him out of the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord will result in our hating evil. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Pride and arrogancy, once again. You know, a wise person is never a prideful person. A wise person is always a humble person. You cannot mix wisdom and pride together. When you see wisdom and pride mixed together is in the story of the fall of Lucifer. It talks about his wisdom, but then it also talks about his pride. And his pride caused him to make such a fatal mistake that there's no redemption and no forgiveness for him. Pride completely destroyed him, and you couldn't really say that he's wise, because look what he's lost. Wisdom always really wins in the end, but Satan's wisdom, or the Lucifer's wisdom, caused him to lose everything. So he really isn't wise, but filled with pride. All right, verse 14, counsel is mine and sound advice. I am understanding. I have strength. You know, when you have wisdom, you have strength. You have the power to do whatever it is you need to do. The Apostle Paul said it this way: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Jesus is our wisdom. Praise God. Let's go on. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue better than choice silver. Once again, wisdom's compared to material possessions. wisdom found to be better, but causes us to gain all of these things. Praise God. All right. Verse 20 says, I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, righteousness and material possessions. Of course, righteousness is far more important. Spiritual blessings far outweigh material blessings. But we do live in a world where we have to use money, our earthly treasures, in order to procure ourselves a home and a place to live, food to eat, clothing. We have to take care of our families, our children, our obligations, and our responsibilities. But more than that, a Christian who is truly blessed becomes a wellspring for other people. They become a giver. They're anointed to give. And God said that He gives us the power to get wealth that He may establish His covenant in the earth. In other words, the proclamation of the gospel. We can fund missionaries and churches and pastors and Christian schools and important works for the kingdom of God when we are prosperous financially. And that's really the goal, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things are added to us. And God doesn't mind getting money to you as long as He can get the money through you, because He wants you to be a channel of blessing to others. Praise God. Verse 22 says, the Lord possessed me, wisdom, in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Another word, wisdom, predates the creation of the heavens and the earth. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. You know, that reminds me of John 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Our wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-existed, lived before the creation of the heavens and the creation of the earth. And in His wisdom, He caused everything that is to be. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And certainly the Word of God and the wisdom of God are the very same thing. Praise God. And it tells us that from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. His Word is forever settled in heaven. All right. Verse 26. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and watcheth, and watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Oh, what a precious promise! That with wisdom comes the favor of God. When we find wisdom, when we find the Word of God, the promises of God, we'll obtain favor. The New Testament word that here is favor is grace. And grace is far more than just having your sins forgiven or having the promise of heaven when you die. It's the grace of God that is the means by which God blesses us with all blessings. You see, God can't give us anything just because we're good enough or smart enough or strong enough or anything else enough. We can't be anything enough. to receive even one blessing from God. No, every blessing that we receive from God comes as the result of His lavish grace or His favor. And God causes us to have favor with Himself and with other people. It's interesting to see how many times that the Bible promises favor with God and man. It tells us that Samuel, when he was a young man, grew in wisdom and in favor with God and man. And so it says Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. When we grow in wisdom, we will also grow in favor. Favor with God, because He will pour out His abundant blessings far beyond what we deserve. And favor with man. In other words, people will give you preferential treatment even if they don't like you. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, He'll make even his enemies to be at peace with you, with them. I have found times when people who didn't particularly care for me still did right by me and treated me well in spite of themselves because of the favor of God. I've learned, I'm beginning to learn, how to expect favor every day in every situation. To expect things to go well. Very often, people have a negative, almost a Murphy's Law kind of attitude about their life. That when they get to the mall, it's going to be too crowded. They probably will have not find that close parking place. And isn't that just the way it always is? You know, probably take us forever to get seated at this restaurant. Oh, don't you know that's the way it always is? Just as I'm heading up this intersection, that light turns green. And don't you know it's the longest light in town? And it always happens that way to me. You know, that sort of attitude is the opposite of what we're talking about. That's not expecting favor. And hey, what you expect is what you experience. When you expect favor, you will experience favor. No, I expect that I'll find a parking place right in the front. I expect it. I expect that I'll walk into the restaurant and be seated immediately by a courteous server. I expect that if I happen to mistakenly overdraw a check, I'm going to be able to get the money in there and they're not going to charge me a fee because I'll be able to take care of it quickly. I expect I'm not going to overdraw a check. You know, I just expect the favor of God that people are going to treat me well. You know, that didn't always happen to Joseph. He was mistreated by his brethren. But even as a slave, the favor of God caused him to be exalted into the house of Potiphar. And even though he was lied about by Potiphar's wife and falsely accused and cast in the prison, yet the favor of God caused him to rise to the top in that situation. You know, it's the natural thing for Joseph to always seem to float to the top. Somebody comes along and pushes him to the bottom, but just before long, he just naturally just floats right back up to the top. It's the way he operates, because he operated in the favor of God. The same is true with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, Daniel cast into that den of lions. The favor of God was there, even causing the lions' mouths to be shut. The favor of God, that fourth man in the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't always treated right, but because of the favor of God, things always went well. So I love to think about the favor of God. And it tells us in verse 35, "For whoso findeth me," or wisdom, "finds life." Oh, what a promise. He finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against wisdom wrongs his own soul, and all that hate me love death. How can you sin against wisdom? Well, I think that by not giving heed to wisdom. You know, so many people mock when you tell them what's right. They laugh at it. People who know that certain habits are bad for them physically, and if you mention it to them, they kind of mock at you and scoff at you and maybe even insult you because you let them know, hey, you know, that's not good for you. And they know it, but yet they continue to do it. That's sinning against wisdom. and whoever sins against wisdom wrongs his own soul, his own mind, will, and emotions. All that hate wisdom love death. There's so much in this chapter, and we ran through it in a hurry, but I trust that you'll go back and take a few minutes and look at it again and read over each verse. Wisdom is personified. It's a person that's crying out, making her voice to be heard. Wisdom truly is the Lord Jesus Christ and His eternal word.